Chasey Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. We always enjoy our conversation now with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How's it going?
Going great, guys. Good morning to you. I'm turning my attention to the combine, which is next in the scouting process. Then as we move up to pro days and private workouts and getting ready for free agency, I think March the 12th, and which is a month away. That's always a frenzy will be for Mike Vrabel, who has, I believe, $112 million in cap space.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to a lot of teams that are over, like New Orleans is $60 million over and has got to do some serious cutting. And there's always so many interesting storylines going on in the NFL.
Well, and I believe the waiver window will start, and the Titans have the first waiver claim. So that could certainly bode well for them if they so choose to use that. What were your thoughts, though, on the Super Bowl? The Eagles just throttling the Chiefs to win their second championship.
I picked the Chiefs 27-24. I thought there was a chance the Eagles could win, but never had any idea that the Eagles would dominate the Chiefs. I watched the Texans lose regular season at Arrowhead by 8, playoffs at Arrowhead by 9, and even though they have a great tandem of defensive ends in Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, they did not dominate the Chiefs' offensive line like the Eagles did with a 4-man rush, and that's what was the most impressive. And the last time they lost the Super Bowl, they redid their offensive line. The problem they have is their best lineman, Trey Smith, the guard. He's unrestricted. You know, there's a lot of teams will be interested in him. Maybe a team like New England to come in to help Drake May. So they got serious issues, and people were blasting Mahomes for a bad game. I saw in the Super Bowl what I've been seeing, what I saw all season with the Texans. As soon as the ball snapped, offensive linemen getting beaten and a quarterback running for his life, and not having a prayer of setting up in the pocket. And that's what we saw here consistently. That's the way it was in that game. I was happy Nick Sirianni got the victory. Kellen Moore got a head coaching job. Although if I was Kellen Moore, I would have stayed another season trying to get a better job, because the Saints, I think, with their personnel system being over the cap and everything, is not a good job. But the Eagles, they got their parade coming. It's going to be exciting. You know, it's not like they've been destitute. When they won in the Super Bowl in 17, it was the first championship they'd had since 1960. So now it's not, even though it doesn't have the same meaning when you wait that long. Just like if the Titans win one, it'll be the first ever. Texans win one, it'll be the first ever. And that is always the most special.
I totally agree with that. John, let's talk about Pat Mahomes after the game. A lot of people are like, well, now they got the blueprint on the Chiefs. As long as I can remember, if you've got a devastating pass rush, I don't care if it's Montana, Marino, Elway back there, they're going to get at you. Chiefs will be back, and you just talked about it. They're going to rebuild that offensive line, but as long as they've got Pat Mahomes, they're always going to be in contention.
Absolutely. Him and Andy Reid, two of the dumbest things I've ever heard were that, and now this is the blueprint to beat them. Everybody would like to beat them with a 4-man rush and dropping everybody else into coverage, but everybody can't do it. If they could, they would. And they kept Mahomes bottled up, and he was so far behind. All those plays he makes on 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, when he's off schedule, throwing the ball underhanded, behind his back, between his legs, that didn't help. And by the way, I had a friend bet $20,000 on a prop bet for Hopkins a touchdown with 3-1 odds and made $60,000 at the end. I was so happy for him. Of course, I told him bet on the Chiefs, but he still came out ahead. And so I think that I was stunned that the Chiefs defense didn't play better. But you know, where was Chris Jones? Where was George Karlaftis? They had been great, and of course, the Eagles have the best offensive line in the NFL with the best coach in Jeff Stoutland. And so they build from the trenches out. Now, this is a good draft coming up for defensive linemen, but especially on the interior. So maybe, you know, monkey see, monkey do. But there were no revelations. And the other dumbest things I heard is, well, the Chiefs' window is over.
Yeah.
The dynasty's over. That is just preposterous. Joe, for the reasons you said, starting with Mahomes, and then, of course, Andy Reid, and then Jim Spagnuolo. Now, his defense hadn't been treated like that, but the Eagles were the most talented team in the league. And one thing I know, Chiefs won't be back in a Super Bowl, because over the last 30 years, the only Super Bowl loser to return was the Patriots once, and I think you got to go back to the Bills to see a Super Bowl loser who returned besides that one year the Patriots did it.
Yeah, and also, you know, I kind of believe this a little bit. It said the Chiefs' biggest problem going forward is going to be the Chargers. And I'm thinking, nah, you know, I can see that. I mean, is that the next threat within the division, John, to the Chiefs and maybe to the AFC?
Well, I think Buffalo are better than the Chargers. I watched the Texans hammer the Chargers in the playoffs. Chargers got a lot of things they have to do in free agency. I would think the Chargers' time would be better 2026. But when you got your quarterback and you got a good coach, that puts you ahead of everybody that doesn't have a quarterback and a good coach. But I see Baltimore and Buffalo as being the two teams most likely to compete for the Super Bowl if the Chiefs don't go back, and the odds are totally against them.
We will have more with John McClain coming up next. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, continuing our discussion with John McClain. The news came out over Super Bowl weekend, John, that the Jets were going to move on from quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I do believe there's going to be a market for him if he ultimately, you know, wants to continue playing. That's now kind of in his hands. What market do you think there will be, though, for Aaron Rodgers?
I know people have said the Raiders. Well, the Raiders, it would take an experienced head coach like Pete Carroll to deal with his issues of creating controversy. And Diana Rossini of The Athletic reported that the Jets told him if he came back that they didn't want him doing Pat McAfee's show every week because everything he said created controversy. And the next day, everybody's talking about it in the locker room and asking him about it and creating a distraction. And it's all about culture. And I don't know what he said in that situation, but I wouldn't want him going on Pat McAfee every week because I watch him and I know the things that he says. And it also infuriates the local media that he's talking to McAfee for $1 million a year and giving him information he doesn't give the other team. Now, he played better over the second half of the season. It didn't translate to winning, but of course he was coming off of that Achilles injury. And I could not see when people are saying, oh, he should go to Tennessee because he owns a home there. Well, he owns a lot of homes. When you make $50 million a year, you can do that. I think a young coach like Brian Callahan, the last thing he needs to do is get mixed up with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And no move is made in Las Vegas without Tom Brady. And Brady, you know, he is the antithesis of Rodgers as far as not creating controversy unless it was something. It was always nothing he said. He was involved in a lot of controversy, of course, with Spygate and Deflategate with Bill Belichick. But I would think if you're looking for him as a bridge quarterback, you better have a strong support system with a head coach that can handle him and be ready for him to go into the darkness, to go on vacation during the mini camp that's required. Those are bad things. And I thought last year he had a trip scheduled to Europe. Well, when you make $50 million a year, can't you change that trip? I believe you can change that trip or go next year or go the week before or after. So I wouldn't want any part of him. But he wouldn't be on the field. He works hard. His teammates like him, but he is just a lightning rod for controversy.
Speaking of Tom Brady, you know, we saw him call the Super Bowl for Fox, and, you know, we know there's stuff with him where since he has ownership of the Raiders, he can't go to, you know, certain meetings and all that. Do you think the NFL will eventually basically say, hey, you need to get out of the booth because it's just – it's an unfair advantage? Or do you think they're just going to let this ride because he's Tom Brady?
Well, they can't tell him to get out of the booth. He signed a 10-year contract for $37.5 million a year, and they've already approved it. They shouldn't have approved him as a minority partner for the Raiders. You know, Mark Davis is smart in his regard, relying on Brady, and he managed to pull it off this year. He couldn't go to the meetings, couldn't go to practice. I don't think it showed. I think like his rookie year in the NFL, he'll be a lot better his second year. Fox used him a lot last week. They had him doing all kind of interviews, and then he was involved heavily in the pregame. So they want to see if they get their $37.5 million worth. And now, if the Raiders get good, that's when people are going to complain. Only media is complaining. But if the Raiders continue to flounder, owners aren't going to give a squat about that. But they got nobody to blame but themselves for letting him join the party.
John, somebody texted me and wanted you to ask, what team under the radar do you look at 2025 could do big things outside the big six or seven that we always talk about? Is there a team in that kind of lower echelon that you like, the things they've done over the last year or two, that could make a jump in 2025?
First of all, I look at divisions. And I think Seattle could be one. I think if you look at the divisions, the West, the top teams are going to be the top teams. It's going to be the Chiefs and the Chargers. You look at the NFC East, they've had a new champion 21 years in a row, so that means Washington will beat out Philadelphia in the NFC East. I see some people online, media people and fan sites. I love these fan sites where that's us, and we so much it sounds like they're speaking French, but there's a lot of them out there. And the Cowboys are saying they're saying for the Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl next year. And I'm like, stop right there. Give me a break.
Right.
That was just unbelievable. And so in the NFC South, you know, maybe Atlanta with Michael Penix, that division is not great. And the more I think about it, I like what they've done, but they still need to get pass rushers. So I would say, if I had to pick an NFC, I would say the Falcons. And if picking an AFC, I'd like to say the Bengals, but that wouldn't be a big surprise because they got so much talent led by Joe Burrow. I also might say Seattle. But in the AFC, I can't think of anybody from the AFC South. Can't think of anybody from the AFC North. So let me go to the East. This time last year, if you guys go back and look, some people were picking experts, Buffalo, not to even make the playoffs.
Right.
They were picking the Jets and the Dolphins to win that division. So I'd love to pick the Patriots, but I can't do it. They just don't have enough talent. So I'm going to pick Miami because if Tua Tagovailoa can ever stay healthy for a full season, and that's a big if because you guys have seen him going back to Alabama when he's hurt every year. Miami still has the firepower to do it.
I love it. John, Eli Manning, not in the Hall of Fame. Next year you got Drew Brees, and you got Roethlisberger, then you got Tom Brady. Do you see him going in after that or in the middle of that? I think a lot of people were kind of – it was 50-50, like, I can't believe he didn't get in. And some like, yeah, he probably didn't deserve it. He'll get in down the road. Your thoughts?
Eli didn't make the first cut in the room. His the debate with Eli, you have a five-minute presentation, then you open it to debate. It was 52 minutes. It was the longest of our meeting. And I think everybody believes at some point Eli Manning will get the Hall of Fame. And, I mean, you know, he won two Super Bowls and played great. Ben Roethlisberger won two, and one of them he was awful. They were lucky to beat Seattle. I can't remember. I think it was Seattle. And Jim Plunkett won two Super Bowls, and he was MVP. So winning Super Bowls, it takes more than that. And Eli, you know, he's had a 500 record. If he hadn't played his last six seasons, he'd have been a first ballot. But and the fact that he didn't ever have an all-pro, and people say, well, he played in an era of great quarterbacks. Well, so what? And so I think he'll get in eventually, just not sure when.
Going to be interesting to see for sure. John, always appreciate the chats, and we'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I love talking to you guys. Can't wait to get in all the Titans' first overall pick talk.
Oh, we'll have plenty of that. Don't you worry. See you, John. John McClain joining us here on the show as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. We will get back to our question of the day. A lot of you wanted to call in and weigh in on that. Our question of the day, what's the fastest that you have driven on the street, not a racetrack, in honor of Daytona coming up this weekend? What's the fastest you've ever driven? 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by Wilson County Honda.com here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.